And for this morning, you know, we're getting ready for VBS to kick off tomorrow night. And you know the theme is Jesus is the light. I preached on that last week. But there is a reason that Jesus is the light, and it's so that we will be the light. You know, we have a responsibility in that. And as I thought about Vacation Bible School, I'll be doing three skits, one each night with our 7th and 8th graders. I'm thinking to myself, what are the practical applications, the practical handles of being light? You know, I know a few random things, sure, we all do. But what does the Bible say the light is? And that's where we're going to turn our minds and hearts this morning. And what we're going to do, last week we examined Jesus' identity statement that I am the light. That's who he is. Okay. Today we're going to examine one of our identity statements, and it's found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. That's part of who we are, church. That is an identity statement. And I want to start by turning to Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 25. That's going to be on the top of your handouts. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee. So you got to get this visual in your mind. Jesus is walking all over Galilee. Okay, this is a region, not a little town. This is a big area. And while he's doing that, he's teaching in their synagogues. And get this, he is proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And he's also healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And in verse 25, because of all of this, these large crowds are now following him. So we've got three key things going on here. Number one, Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He is, number two, performing miracles. But number three, as Jesus continues traveling, he's got massive crowds of people following him. And this scenario leads into the greatest sermon ever preached. Anybody know the name of that? Sermon on the Mount. And that begins in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And the Sermon on the Mount covers three entire chapters. And the main thing I want you to know as we look at this, it covers the basics of Christian living. So if you want to live like Christ, focus in on the Sermon on the Mount, especially the introduction. And that's what we're going to do this morning. It all begins with Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and Jesus opened his mouth, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against me, or against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, church, when we read in the Bible that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, I don't know about you, but I've always wondered how in the world I can wrap my mind around what is the gospel of the kingdom. Well, we don't know maybe its full entirety, but I guarantee you one thing, it starts with these words. So you want to know what the gospel of the kingdom of God is? It's right here in its essence. It's massive. And what really gets my attention is that after Jesus speaks these beatitudes, he comes to this statement in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, and he says, "You are the light of the world." And I want to show you how I saw this in my own mind. Think of it this way. Jesus is saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the gentle, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who have been persecuted. And blessed are people, or blessed are you when people insult you. And then he says, it's you. It's you that think and speak like this that are the light of the world. And it dawned on me while studying this. If you want to really know what the light is that Jesus is promoting, it's in the Beatitudes. It's in chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. It's the perfect outline. And we're going to start with verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. In essence, this is the person that realizes they cannot become spiritual by their own power and efforts. You ever seen anybody striving in their own power to be better? They usually fail at that because poor in spirit, to be poor in spirit, it means that you put all your trust and your dependence on God's ability, not your own. And that's how Jesus says we let our light shine. And it's the opposite of this Pharisaic pride that we read of and this boasting of things that we do by our own power and our own efforts. But giving credit to ourselves for spiritual things, that's something that Jesus confronted as sin. And he nailed that head on. So when we trust and rely on God, what happens, church, is our lights shine. But when we try to take the credit or we try to give another human being the credit, the light goes out and it turns into darkness. And some of you will know this, especially my students from class for several years. This is the great reversal role of Jesus, so I want you to pay attention to that. Now, I like to call that the upside down kingdom of Jesus. I've done PowerPoints on it, so I'm not doing that this morning. I just want to preach today. I don't want to mess with that clicker. I got something to say, and it's fixing to get a lot better. But this is an amazing concept if we can grab a hold of it, because every single beatitude, and there are nine here, every single one of them are great reversal roles that Jesus flips completely upside down. He says, here's how the darkened world in sin does things. And then he says, here's how people that have been lit up by my light do things. So with that being said, we move into verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn. And I want to say something up front. This is not about being happy that someone in your family has passed away. That is not what this means. We generally view somebody that's grieving and crying as someone to be pitied or comforted or helped, but certainly not to be envied and blessed. And it all depends on what your motive is for why you grieve and why you mourn. But if you think about it, a darkened mind tends to seek the fleshly pleasures of self-centered sin. And there's no repentance over what is clearly dark and wrong. And the person with this mindset, they're not moved to help someone in poverty. They're not moved to help someone in oppression, so they don't. And they're also not moved by those who continually live in the same sins day after day with no challenge, no repentance, no life change. And Jesus, he flips this kind of thinking totally upside down. And he says values like these are dark. They're wrong. And I believe if we as adults are going to teach our children to shine light, if we can't get this basic concept down before we step into those classrooms and I help do these skits, I think we've missed the whole purpose of Jesus. So I really want us to be challenged to take in the words of God in the flesh here, because he's really got something to say to all of our hearts. And the way we handle that this week can spiritually develop and spiritually form our children as it does us as the adults teaching. And that is deeply impressed on my heart right now. Now, the psalmist, he captured this idea very well in Psalm 119 verses 1, or just one verse, 136. My eyes shed streams of tears because men do not keep your law. Now, those who grieve over sin in this world, now they will be comforted by God throughout eternal life in heaven. And that's the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached. And, you know, grieving over sin is different than being angry over somebody else's sin. one is dark and one is light. And I think it would do us well to all take a hold of that concept that Jesus teaches. He says when you live like that, you're blessed. But when you don't, the opposite is you're cursed and you're in darkness. And so often, we don't even understand the darkness we live in and promote. And Jesus says there's a way to get around that. But you're going to have to listen. And then you're going to have to apply it and make some changes at the heart level. At the heart level. And church, what really blows my mind, this is basic Christianity. But the more I've studied these Beatitudes this week, it is not commonly reflected within the church. And that concerns me. It is reflected, but we've got improvement to grow, amen? So I want to keep that positive, but I want to keep it real as well. Verse number 5, blessed are the gentle. Blessed are the gentle. And some versions here, they read meek or humble. But either way, the truth is brought out that followers of Jesus, they do not aggressively insist on their own way or on their own rights. That's darkness. But our lights shine brightly when we display an authentic humility. That's different. But whenever a person becomes easily angered, quick to argue, and they're willing to do anything for the sake of being right, church, the light of Christ goes out. It's over. You can forget about light. And Jesus says that's when the darkness wins. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And ultimately, you boil it all down. This is an intense longing and a very intense craving for the righteousness of Christ himself. It's not that we muster it up on our own. I mean, Jesus teaches the key to this in the next chapter in the middle of this Sermon on the Mount. It's in chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first God's kingdom. You do that above everything, and here's the blessing. His righteousness, not yours, God's righteousness will be added and given to you. So when we seek God with all our hearts, the scripture reading this morning couldn't have been more on. And I did not mean to make this line up with it. That's just God working out again. But church, when we seek God above everything else, and we put his kingdom ways above our own, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is given as a gift by the Father, and that's a blessing. And that person will be filled with shining light. They'll be satisfied. The opposite of that is to seek the flesh with all our hearts. And we put Satan's kingdom of darkness first. So in essence, when Jesus comes second and other things come first, the light gets covered up and it becomes useless to clearly see anything. All the lines of morality get blurred. Now, these are the first four Beatitudes, and they're all about dependence on God. So watch this. Because these next five are outflowing results of working on these first four. In verse 7, blessed are the merciful. And the easy way to say this is blessed are those who love to give mercy and grace to difficult people. I didn't even get a chuckle in the room, but I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody's got a difficult person in their life. And difficult to give mercy and grace to. But what this is, verse 7 is a verse that describes someone who has been formed and shaped by sitting in the presence of God for many years. Immature Christians cannot be merciful. This takes years of maturation. And to be merciful is absolutely to be bent on showing mercy, not revenge and punishment. It is a settled disposition inwardly to stop that. And that takes time and growth. And you're not going to do that apart from Jesus Christ. And the person that is merciful, they become merciful from a split-second decision. It becomes a habitual habit that mercy just pops out of you when you're angry. How natural is that? Jesus said if anything less than that comes out of you, it's darkness and it's evil. Now that's Jesus. He says if you want the righteousness of me and light, there is a way to flip that thinking upside down. And Jesus has got grace for that. We're not trapped in that. He's got a way out for us. And the solution is grace. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. The heart is not where we naturally expect purity, but it's the very place that Jesus demands it. He expects it to be there. And to be pure in heart is simply to be pure in one's all of your mind, your thoughts, your words, all of your body. It's to be pure by staying in the presence of God so long that the darkness cannot stay attached and it's got to go. And the way James says it is, when we draw near to God, God draws near to us. Y'all know James. And when God draws near to us because we're getting close to Him, Satan's got to go. He has to leave. And we need to know that. And Satan doesn't want us to know that. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. This has everything to do with how we deal with conflict. And we have to raise the question, do we elevate hostility when it comes at us? Do we devolve in such a way that we contribute to the chaos in front of us? Or do we adapt to Jesus versus the sinful person? We have to make that decision. And it is a decision. It's a difficult one. You know, can we really deal with difficult people in the way of Christ in a peaceful way? And we can if we live in humility. But we're going to have to deeply grieve and mourn sin. I think that is the problem with America today. We rejoice over so many things that are dark and defend it. I've seen so many Christians be angry and defend themselves in their own immaturity and darkness. And that's a problem with Jesus. Jesus has a conflict with that behavior in His church. And He's saying it's time to repent. It's time to allow me to get deep down inside the heart. Because that's exactly where Jesus wants to live. Verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted. And I'm going to lump in verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you. I mean, being persecuted, insulted pretty well go together. And I was just attacked last week, violently attacked right up in my face with a man shouting at me. And that's very difficult to take. And I didn't say a word. I just put my fist together and I said to myself, shut up. And then about the time I started to speak, I said, shut up again, Ryan. And it worked, believe it or not. And I was able to give him grace. I was. Now, that was not easy. And I probably looked mad, but I didn't say anything mad. So that's progress. But church, it's really hard to feel like we're blessed when we're being persecuted and insulted and we've got somebody right here. But Jesus says, I want you to grow beyond excuses, and I want you to grow in love. I want you to get to the point to where you have an instinct that you will just throw mercy out and grace out because it is who you are at the identity level. That's what these Beatitudes are all about. And one thing's for sure, church, if you follow Jesus, you will take hits. I heard a baby amen out there. But you know, shame on you if you allow a person promoting darkness to define your level of faith. Another way I've heard it said is woe to you if your faith depends on man. That's something to meditate on. You know, Jesus says you're blessed when you're persecuted and insulted, so don't let it bother you. And it's not that it's fun, but it's also not that it's crippling either. We have the responsibility to grow up. That's our responsibility. And everything in Christianity, when we take the words of Jesus at face value, it's all a part of growing, every single bit of it. And the more our light shines, church, the more we grow into Christ, and the more we will influence others to have a desire to live like that. They're going to say, you got something the world doesn't have, and I want it too. But they don't want to hear a sermon about it on the street. They want to see that sermon live. And it impacts. It impacts at the soul level. Now, we're going to turn the wheel right here, but that's the first 12 verses of Matthew. And our identity in Christ is clearly articulated. Pay close attention to these. And after it's all said, we come to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. In verse 13, it says, you're salt. I don't want to talk about salt because that's not our theme for VBS. So we're going to move on by that one, and we're going to look at light. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. When you act and speak from a pure heart, being transformed in the image of Christ. That is essentially what Jesus has to say to us. Now we'll read it in its entirety. Verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, church, our good works and our words, if you boil it all down, that's how we let our light shine. Or that's how we prove that we are absorbing darkness and promoting darkness. It all comes down to words and actions. How do we do life? How do we deal with everyday situations? I mean, how do we respond under pressure? Does our light shine from our true identity in Christ? You know, or do we just wilt and wither under pressure and our light goes out? And they're very valid questions. I mean, when the world looks at us, what do they see when we handle conflict? And do we become easily angered and overwhelmed? Do we really trust and rely on God? Are we quick to argue? You know, how do we handle winning? How do we handle losing? How do we really do these things, church? How do we handle money, and do we spend every dime we get and overextend ourselves? Do we give to God what's due to God? That's what the Sermon on the Mount is about. And that's what shining light is really about. And how we handle ourselves throughout the situations of life, the way we treat God, and every decision treats God, good or bad, but also how we treat people, that determines whether we're casting out darkness or shining light. And it is vital that we get the accurate message to our children this week, not just in the classroom, but by living it. By living it. That is the vital piece to all of this. I'm going to give y'all a break and skip part of this at the end. And I'm going to go straight into Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Apostle Paul writes that you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I put another verse in your bulletin that refers to you and I as children of light. And I want you to see that. That's your identity. It's not something you earn or work up to. If you have faith, if you've repented, confessed, been immersed into Christ, you are a child of light. That's your identity. Now, where you're at in that growth journey is dependent on you. But it nonetheless doesn't make your identity any different. And I want you to know that. And I also want us to see, before we end out, the proper motive of becoming a shining light. We don't shine our light to be in the spotlight, okay? It's not about us. You go back to that text and read it. We do this to give glory to our Father who is in heaven. So what we do, church, we put the spotlight on Jesus so that he gets all the attention, all the glory, all the praise, and that's simply the goal. People out in the world filled with darkness need to know that is our motive. They need to know that all the glory goes to God, not to a human being. And that radiates. That is evangelism when we live this way. Without one word said about a sermon, we just live it. We just live it. And essentially, this is the basics of consistently becoming light for Jesus. And if you want the rest of the course, go home and read all of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 and apply that. Write down the practical applications. You will fill up multiple pages in a notebook of practical applications in 3 chapters. There's enough there to fill you up for the rest of your life on growth material, and very practical handles. They're everywhere. We've looked at simply 9 in 12 verses this morning, and they branch out pretty wide. But Jesus challenges us to allow his words to spiritually form and shape us slowly over the rest of our lives. And this is exactly his definition of shining brightly during your stay on earth. So I leave you with those words. I am looking very forward to VBS this week. And if there's anybody here right now that would like to be prayed over, if there's anyone here that would like to be immersed into the Lord,